I'd like to speak to you this afternoon on this thought, Paul's contentment and Paul's appreciation. The book of Philippians is coming to a close, and we have journeyed our way all the way up to this point, pretty much verse by verse, and coming to the end of it here over the next couple of weeks. And once again, we are allowed to look into the heart of the Apostle Paul. Numerous times through the book of Philippians, we've seen in his heart the way he has written about his great love for the people of Philippi. Of course, he's not in Philippi as he's writing this. We know that he's in Rome. We know that he's in not such the best of accommodations. He's being held there in Rome as a prisoner. But he has a great affection for the people at Philippi, and he expresses that over and over again. He shares some personal attributes here in these verses, as well as how the church continues to be a blessing to him and be a great encouragement to him. And I know we hear regularly from our missionaries, and that's kind of what Paul is here, a church planter, a missionary, and he's hearing from his churches. I was so encouraged the other day to get a call from I've just lost who called me. Brother Uruguay called me. Alishan, I always think of their country name if I can't think of their name. So, Brother Uruguay, you know who that is, right? Brother Paulishan, he called me the other day and he said, Pastor Turner, just wanted to call you. And technology, I think it's an internet phone that he uses, but it sounds as clear as anything. And we talked for about 15, 20 minutes on the phone about what God is doing there. Of course, that's one of our missionaries that we support. And they're seeing people saved. They're having a missions conference, by the way, next month. We need to be praying about that. They're having a missions conference. The church is not even 1 year old, and they're having a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday missions conference. So exciting to hear from Brother Paulishan. But in his conversation, he said, please let the church family know that we appreciate the support. We appreciate the prayers. We appreciate your communication. It's exactly what Paul is saying here as well. You've communicated with me once again. You're staying in contact with me. And they didn't obviously have the technology that we do today to stay in contact with one another. But they communicated with him, and it was a great encouragement. And here at Anchor Baptist Church, as we've said, and I don't think it could ever get old, but I thank God for a church that is actively involved in local as well as worldwide evangelism, missions. We have an active Faith Promise missions giving program, and we've talked about that. To God be the glory. Let's look at several things here through these verses. Number one, let's look at Paul's confidence was in God's providence. Verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the who? Lord. I rejoiced in the Lord. We need to be careful that we don't get our eyes on man, but that we keep our eyes on the Lord. Paul's confidence was in the providence, or Paul's confidence was in God's providence. That now, look at that word now. You know, I think about that word now, and I think that that was exactly the moment when God wanted that provision to come for Paul. I think about my life, and I think there's some things maybe you're praying for, and we might say this, we might say, well, I need it to be done now. You know what? I don't want my now to happen if it's not God's now. I don't want my will to be done if it's not God's will to be done. And you know, there's just these little things as we read our Bible that now, this is God's providence. This is God's timing. This is the sovereignty of God being fulfilled in this time. That now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. The patient confidence that we must have in God's sovereign providence isn't always easy. God hasn't come through yet, so God must not be in it. Not necessarily. The patient confidence in the providence of God's, or in the patient confidence in God's sovereign providence isn't always that easy. But you know what? God is teaching us something. He is seldom early, but never late. God is seldom early, but never late. What is God? Right on time. We're praying for a new building here. You're visiting today. Please pray with us. We're not in this location probably not for all of next year. Maybe for only 6 months next year. And we have to find a new place to meet. When is God going to show us where our next meeting location is? I'm not sure when God's going to show us. But I know this. It's going to be in His now. It's going to be in His timing. And it's going to be good. because God is always good. Paul's confidence was in God's providence. He knew the heart of the Philippian Christians. Notice he says there in verse number 10, it hath flourished again. And it says, but she lacked opportunity. Let's remember a couple of things. And we mentioned it a moment ago. Remember that the people were at such a distance from Paul that possibly there wasn't anyone available to say, okay, again, there wasn't Federal Express. There wasn't UPS. There wasn't even Canada Post for that matter. But there was only individuals that they could use to take messages to one another. Possibly there just wasn't anybody available. But Paul was always in the Philippian church's mind. They were praying for him. And Paul was always thinking about them. And that's what he says here regarding the fact that he lacked opportunity. You know, I thought about this. Not even fruit trees, most times. I know someone's going to talk to me afterwards because I know there's some. But not even fruit trees produce year-round. Think about that. There's a season for what? Producing fruit. And then there's a season for them to be going dormant. The leaves maybe fall off. And they prepare for winter. It's all part of God's plan. What I'm saying is, I thought about that when I read this verse. You know, God's timing, God's providence, a church goes through ups and a church goes through downs. Christians go through ups and Christians experience some valleys sometimes. But here's the good news, as believers, God never leaves us. Maybe you're in a valley this afternoon. You know God's there with you as a Christian? Maybe you're in a very trying time. Can I encourage you? Put your confidence in the providence of God. Here's a good thing. God has it under control. You are in as a Christian, John 10, you are in God's hand. And you know what? Here's the good news. God never dropped anyone. You know, I've dropped a lot of things in my life. Oh, I can't believe I dropped that again. I dropped it again. Sometimes I have the dropsies, you know, and I just keep dropping things. You know what? God's never dropped anyone. God's never turned his back on anyone. Maybe you have a great financial need. I want you to know something. God has you in his hands. God has you in his hands. Maybe your physical situation right now isn't what you want it to be. God has you in his hands. It was all in God's hands. I sense in the Apostle Paul here, as I read verse 10, no panic. You lacked opportunity. It's flourished again. No panic in Paul. No panic in Paul. What is providence? Another word we can say for God's providence is God's provision. Today, all of life's results, and tomorrow, all of life's results are in the tender, loving hands of God. Number two, look at verse 11. I think we find here that Paul was satisfied with little. Paul was satisfied with little. Not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not saying I want something. You know, you may have lacked opportunity. You follow along here as they're getting this letter back from Paul and they're reading this. He's saying, it's not because I wanted something. But it's because, as he says here, because I've learned something. Now, you know what? When I read that, and how many of you have ever read this passage of Scripture before? Raise your hand. You've read this before. Okay. Probably everybody in here has read it more than once. That you raised your hand. If this is a new passage to you, praise the Lord. Some new information here to you today, maybe. But when I looked at that word learned, I really stopped. I began to think about something. I'll come to it in just a minute, by the way. Paul was chained to a Roman soldier. He was a prisoner. He was satisfied with little. He was lacking many of the comforts possibly that he could have had, but he was satisfied with little. And then I come to that thought that Paul said he learned something. You know, when I was a young boy, I learned how to do many things. One of the things I learned how to do, Brother Dan, is I learned how to tie my shoes. You know, when I learned how to tie my shoes, before I learned how to tie my shoes, here's the obvious. I didn't know how to tie my shoes. I couldn't do it because I'd never learned how to tie my shoes. I learned how to drive when I was 15 years old. Can you believe that? 15 years old. Learned how to drive. How many of you are 15 years old? Do we have any 15-year-olds? Do we have any 16-year-olds? Brother Elliot, you're 16? You still need to learn how to drive. Come on now. He drives a big bus. Anyway, I remember when I learned how to drive. I remember learning how to drive on a manual transmission. Is that what you call them? Five gears or whatever it is? And my dad took me out to drive that thing, and I thought, I can do this. Not a problem, not a problem. So he took me on a road that had a hill at the top of it. Everybody laughing knows what I'm talking about, because you were been on that hill with the manual transmission vehicle. And sure enough, I had no idea what was coming. I got to the top of the hill. This is really good. I'm doing a great job. And I was learning how to drive a stick shift, is what I called it, but a manual transmission car. And I got up to the top of that hill, and I pushed down the brake, pushed in the clutch. Everything was going fine. Then it was my time to go, and you know what? Kabunk! Went nowhere. Didn't know how to let off a little bit on that clutch and put down a little. I mean, you need 3 feet to drive one of those cars, it seems like, you know. You know what? Before that, I couldn't say, I know how to drive a manual transmission, because I'd never learned. I don't know. I'm just simple-minded, but I think Paul is saying here, I've learned how to be content. Could it be that at one point in his life he wasn't? It could be. Because he said, I've learned it. I've learned how to be content. Learning takes time. How many of you have learned, you're married today, men, how many of you that are married, you're a man and you're married, you say, I've learned how to be a husband. Raise your hand. I'm just, okay. The Patterson was brave. But he said, that's fine. I didn't see anybody else raise their hand. You know what? When I got married at 21 years old, I was 21 years old. I still can't believe that. And I thought, you know, I think I know what it takes. Well, 25 years later, I'm learning. I'm learning, Brother James. I'm learning how to be a husband. I definitely hope after 25 years I've learned some things that I didn't know when I was 21. Only by God's grace. Paul was satisfied with little. Learning takes time. Learning means that we don't know something before we learned it. You know, in most first world countries today, in fact, we're living in one, the more people have, the more discontented they are. Paul, again, number two, we're saying Paul was satisfied with little. The more discontented we are because of the more we have, few are satisfied with little. Adam Clark said this, a contented mind, I thought this was so helpful to me. A contented mind is a continual feast. Just think about that slowly. A contented mind is a continual feast. Meaning, let's think of the antithesis of that, the opposite of that. A mind that is not content is starving. Because you're never satisfied. You're never full. We just had Thanksgiving last Monday. Everybody here probably had turkey or ham, or maybe you, I don't know what you had, or you had chicken, or maybe you went and had sushi on Thanksgiving. I don't know what you had, but probably you had a pretty good, maybe you had a really good meal on Thanksgiving there on Monday. I'm sure there was a point where you looked at your plate and there was still a little bit on there and you thought, you know what, your stomach sent a message to the brain that said, please do not send any more down that pole because I can't take it anymore. And your brain looked at it and thought, oh man, every bite I've had tasted so good, surely one more is not going to matter. We've all been there. Maybe it wasn't on Monday, maybe it was another time. We're thinking about our, not necessarily our food consumption, but we're thinking about our life as contentment. You know, here's today's thought process. Now, I'm not saying this is your thought process, but I think this is the thought process of many unbelievers, and maybe I hope and pray that it's not ours today. Number one, man meets his own needs. Man meets his own needs. You know, why is it that we have to, why is it that we have to do all that we do? And you know, I think about God, you know, when does God get any time in your life? Think about this. When does God get any time in our life? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've got to work 80 hours a week. Do you really? 70 hours a week. Do you really? Who's your provider? See, man thinks I provide for myself. But the Christian knows I don't provide for myself. God provides for me. God meets my needs. And when I seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, all these things, the context of the verse is clothes, shelter, provision, all these things will be added unto me. Man meets his needs. Man's thought process number two is there is no God. There is no God. I'm talking about why there's a discontentment problem in our world today. I meet my needs. There is no God. Number three, my life is spent meeting my needs. I'm just going to spend my life taking care of me, maybe taking care of my family, but taking care of me and meeting all the needs that I have. But again, as a believer, think about this. When God saved us, he's also not only given us a home in heaven, but praise the Lord, he's promised to supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. By Christ Jesus. So then who defines man's need? Society does. Culture does. Oh, I want God's word to define my need. And Paul said, I've learned something. I've learned something in verse number 10. I've learned to be content with little. I'm not going to let the world around me, I hope that I didn't lose you there, but what I'm trying to say is, let's not let the world around us determine what we need. The world around us says, whoever dies with the most toys wins. Toys are expensive. I don't want to die with the most toys. I want to die pleasing my Savior. And I'm not there yet. I'm still working on that. I'm still trying to get off things that I don't need in my life and put things away and try to get more in tune with what God has for me. No, the world can't determine what you need. The world shouldn't determine what I need. You know, I should let God determine what I need. I shouldn't let all of the things and things and things of this world. And again, I hesitate, but there's nothing wrong with having things, but if they are what is controlling us, and we're not determining what we need based on the word of God, then we're not going to be able to say with Paul, I can be satisfied with little. Quickly turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Paul was content with little. He was satisfied with little. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Thank you for listening. It says in verse number 9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Putting their effort, labor and travail, laboring night and day. Turn over to quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Verse number 8. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you no service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. Paul writing. And so will I keep myself. Paul was satisfied with little. Number one, we said Paul's confidence was in God's providence. Number two, we said Paul was satisfied with little. Let's look at verse 12. Number three, Paul was independent from circumstances. Paul was independent from circumstances. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He's saying here, if I have little, I'm independent of that circumstance. It doesn't matter. If I have much, if I'm full, I'm independent of that. That's okay too. I can function in both ways. Why? Because Paul's concentration, as we read his epistles and as we follow the life of Paul, this is what I surmise, is Paul's focus and concentration was never on the temporal. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, eternal reward, eternal glory. His mind, his concentration on the eternal. Paul was never a victim, never a victim of circumstances. Have you ever heard the statement that is said that someone is a victim? We've heard that. They're a victim. And it happens. Turn quickly to Luke 6. Luke 6. There's always two different ways to look at something that comes into one's life. Paul was independent from circumstances, because he remembered, as we said earlier, that everything that came into his life was from God's hand. Luke 6, please. Verse 21. This is the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Luke. Verse 20 says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." He says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now." There's a promise. See it? "For ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh." And you can read on down through there, but for time's sake, all I wanted us, basically, I'm looking at that, because God's promises. We're in a circumstance right now, but we're not a victim. God has allowed this to come into our life. God has brought us to this point, and God wants to bring us through this point, and God wants to bring us through this time. He's not abandoning me. He's not abandoning you. He's right there with you. You are in His hand as a believer. You are secure in Christ, and praise God for that. And sometimes there's going to be days of weeping. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for that. But that doesn't mean that God died because I'm going through troubles. No, God has allowed that to come into my life to refine me, to purify me, to make me stronger for His glory. And then there's going to be times of great laughter or great joy. But all of it is from God. And Paul is sitting in a jail in Rome, and he's saying, you know what? I've learned how to be on the top side and not take the glory and the honor for it and to give the glory to God. But I've also learned how to be in jail for God. He's not a victim of circumstances. You know, sometimes we can be a victim of blessings. God pours out His blessings and pours out His blessings, and we take those and we put them in our pocket and put them in our, I don't mean victim, but they can be a problem, because we're just stuffing all of God's blessings in and we're not giving God the glory. We start to get maybe a little bit of pride comes in there, that God is doing all this, but you know, if I wasn't in it, God wouldn't be doing it. No, God will do it whether I'm in it or not. God's going to get the job done whether I volunteer or you volunteer or not. But so we can't let the blessings in the mountain, hey, praise the Lord, over $80,000 given, but that has nothing to do with our ability. It had everything to do with God's provision. And we said, yes, I'm going to give a portion of my income to missions and praise God for it. And may we give God all the glory for it. And may we say to God, God, what more can we do? How much more can we do for Your honor and glory? And there's going to be lean times, and there's going to be, you know, when Anchor Baptist Church, when we moved over to this building, within 6 months, 50 people left the church. That's a lean time. And that could have said that was a valley. And not near this many people were attending 6 months after. I'm just saying, to God be the glory. We need to learn how to not be a victim of circumstance. That if God takes 50 people out of the church, we can still say God is good. And if God brings in 100 more, we can say God is good. And it's all God. I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I am. That's what he said there. Paul was an independent from circumstances. He was focused on what he was supposed to do, not on what he thought he should have. Did you catch that? He was focused on what he was supposed to do, not on what he thought he should have. What are you supposed to do as a Christian? The number one thing you're supposed to do as a Christian is to love God with everything. Just love God. And then love your neighbor as yourself. It's not that complicated, is it? But I should have this. Love God. Fear God. Love God. When we love God, we're going to keep His commandments. But it's not out of duty, it's out of delight. Why? Because we love God. Paul was independent from circumstances. Number four, verse 13. Paul was confident in Christ's strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The word strengtheneth there means to endue with power. To endue with power. Colossians 1 verse 10 and 11 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might. According to His glorious power. That's what we need to tap into. The power of God. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you turn there quickly? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul was confident in Christ's strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul's contentment and appreciation. Thank you for listening. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of who? Ourselves. No matter what hat you wear today, listen to this challenge. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Wow. What is Paul saying here? Stop thinking about yourself. Hey, isn't our society absorbed with self? It's everywhere we go. Self, self, me. What can I do? Self. Paul says, don't think about yourself. You know, I think this is one reason why young people today are not answering the call of God. Because either their parents or themselves are more concerned about self. If I'm not concerned about self and God calls, you know what I do? I go. I serve. I volunteer. Whatever. But when we're thinking about self, then it's going to get in the way of the call of God in our life. We're not going to be able to hear God call when we have self that is the choice that we take off of that shelf every day. I'm going to serve myself today. I'm going to serve myself today. You know what? God has saved every one of us here. If you're saved here today, God has saved every one of you to be a part of a Bible preaching church. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody that's saved here today should be a part of a Bible preaching church. Everyone. And you know, being a part of it doesn't mean coming once every 6 months. Christmas and Easter. Being a part of it means being here. Being a part of it means praying. Being a part of it means thinking less of self and more of God. Being a part of it says, hey, what can I do? Hey, I'll just say this right now. We have got to have some more help in the nursery. This is maybe my semi-annual nursery plea. We have ladies on that nursery list 3 times a month. Some 4 times a month. How can that be? It should not be that way. See, when we're thinking about self, we don't want to serve because we're just thinking about self. Whoa, yo, I can't work with babies. I can't. Look, some of them down there, you know, you can help. You can serve. You have to be a member, yes. If you don't know if you're a member or not, talk to me afterwards. We need laborers. We need helpers. But when self gets in the way, it really prevents us from doing something for God. Not that you speak in your sufficiency of self, but notice he says, but our sufficiency is of God. Hey, a volunteer for Jesus is what we need. More volunteers for Jesus. You don't have to have a degree on the wall that says you have a Bible college degree to live for God, to do something for God. Just someone who says, you know what? My sufficiency, it's not in me. My sufficiency is in the Lord. Paul said, I'm confident in Christ's strength. Paul was ready for anything through the strength of the one who lived in him. Lastly, let's look at verses 14 to 16. Paul was thankful for the help. I love these three verses. Knowing that he which... Oop, that's a different 14 to 16. Philippians 4. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. That ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Wow. This church in Philippi continued faithfully helping Paul as he labored for the Lord. On more than one occasion, they helped him financially. I'm sure they were praying for him, but giving financially. And Paul here at the end expresses his great appreciation. And I watched that video in the Sunday school hour. And I went back in my mind's eye to about 6 years ago or so, when God allowed several men, including Caleb, myself, and Brother Ramon was there. Where's Brother Ramon? Oh, there you are. And we were in that auditorium that was shown up there where the Bibles were given out in Uganda. And I know two of those translators met him when I was over there. They're still serving the Lord. What a blessing. And then this morning, I was watching service in California where Caleb and his family are in the missions conference. Good old live stream. What a blessing. And they did a flag profession, procession. There we go. And here came in Thailand, and I think here came in Kenya. Then here came in Uganda. We're walking down the outside aisle. Saw them carrying that flag in. There were several other, I think they had 6 missionaries represented in the conference. All those kind of China flag was carried in. Brother Tomlinson. And other flags as well. You know what? I sat there at the kitchen table You know, God really got a hold of my heart. The spirit of thanksgiving. As I began seeing, actually there was another couple, probably very newly married, maybe only a few years married. They were going to Thailand as missionaries, the Beale family. Maybe some of you know that name. And other families and so forth. But I began to think, and I began to just thank the Lord. As Paul said here, basically, thank you for investing. And I think, as Anchor Baptist Church, we support 38 missionaries and one printing ministry. Every week, the gospel goes forth. Some of them are here in Canada, church planters. Some of them are all the way around the world. Think about it. When our day starts in the Pacific time zone here, most of what's way across the ocean, it's already happened, and they're already about ready to go to bed. But while we've been sleeping on Saturday night, they've been singing "To God Be the Glory" in their language. While we've been sleeping on Saturday night, they've been singing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." Probably in a little different language than English. But as we come across the globe and we see as the time zones happen, and maybe when we get up, because every Sunday, every Saturday night, I get a little bling on my Facebook account because Frank Denisi's church, they have on Facebook Live. Can you believe that? Cebu in the Philippines, Facebook Live. Missionaries in 2019. And you know what? I get a little thing that says, I think it's Christ something Baptist Church is live. Saturday night about 8 o'clock. It's Sunday morning over there, I guess. So it begins. I think about all the gospel that goes forth. As Paul is saying here, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity. I'm looking forward to the day. I'm looking forward to the day when we're all in heaven. And we see all the faces of the people that God allowed to hear the gospel because of some toonies and loonies and some fives and tens and twenties and hundreds and into the thousands of dollars through the years that have been given to worldwide evangelism. We're not done yet. I've got a prayer request right now in my heart for 2020. We've got a Uganda trip already planned. I'm praying about a Philippines trip in 2020 as well. We want to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Paul was thankful. Are you thankful today for the people that have invested in your life? Are you thankful that you have a copy of God's Word? Think about this. This is amazing to hold a Bible in my hand. And in freedom. In freedom.